Today we're finishing up our series called Ducks in a Row. It's been a lot of fun. We've talked about ducks in every which way possible, so we're going to be talking about it a little bit more. But this series isn't just about ducks and the animal getting in a row, but really we're using this as an analogy for our lives. It can be really difficult to get our ducks in a row sometimes. And what we're doing is we're looking at four key areas of our life and really kind of the big rocks in our life, the big ducks in our life, if you will, to see how God can help us, not to just bring order, but how God can help to resurrect or even bring peace to those areas. And we showed you this graphic at the beginning of this series and all throughout about really this is the way God has designed us to live. So many times in our lives, we try to focus on one area of our life and we push in that area, and then wouldn't you know it, one of the ducks walks out of place, and we're like, oh, now I got to work on my relationships a little bit more. And instead of doing our life like that, where we think of it compartmentalized as every area of our life, this is the way God has arranged us and tells us to live, that God wants to be the lead duck in our life. God wants to be the big duck in our lives. And when we enable God to be the lead duck, the big duck in our life, that he can actually work in every single area. So it's no longer us trying to manage. In fact, one of the things that I've kind of realized is neither you nor I have the capacity. We don't have the capacity to juggle the ducks in our life alone. We try to do it so many times, trying to get this in place and this place. We don't have the capacity to do this. We need the Father. We need God working in every single area, in our work world, in our finances, in our relationships, and in every area of our life. And when we do, God can bring peace and order in our life. In week two, we talked about our work world, and so a lot of people have been talking about that as the rest message. And if you're just joining us, you're probably wondering, what does work and rest have to do with one another? A lot. And you can go back and listen to that online. But the reality is, what we talked about is so many times in our life, we try to work so that we can finally experience some rest. But God tells us to flip the script, that we don't work so we can finally rest. We rest well in him. We take some time to rest in who he is and what he's done. And God enables us, therefore, to accomplish the work ahead of us. And then in week three, last week, we talked about our finances, the area of our finances. And we talked about this lie that so many times it's so easy to believe, the lie of more, that more will provide for us, that more will make us satisfied. But instead of believing the lie of more, we challenge you to put your trust in God in that area. And so today we're talking about really the area of our life that I think, the duck in our life, that really is one of the most important, but one of the most difficult ducks to manage, and that is our relationships. Amen? I mean, when your relationships are going well, it just seems like things are right, things are well, but man, when your relationships get a little bit off kilter, it starts to impact every area of your life, and you know it so well. In fact, Tony Robbins, the late night infomercial guru, he once said that the quality of your life is the quality of your relationships. And that's so true, isn't it? The quality of your life is the quality of your relationships. It's because God wired you and me with this need, this desire to be in relationship with other people. We all desire, we want to have these healthy, happy relationships with our friends, with our family, with our work coworkers, all sorts of things, right? And the thing that I've seen is it doesn't matter how successful you are. It doesn't matter how much money you make. If your relationships are out of kilter, it starts to impact all those things. One of the things that I've talked to so many people who would be called successful, right, in worldly terms, right? They've been successful in their career. They've made a lot of money. They've done a lot of things. But they talk about, some of the people said, you know what, but my relationship is not right with this person, or I've got this rotten relationship in this one area. And they talk about how hard it is to enjoy the success they have when that one relationship is out of place. It's so true in our lives, isn't it? That's why relationships are so important. In fact, one of the things, we're talking about relationships as a whole. We're not talking about just marriage and just your kids. We're talking about every single relationship in your life, the 30,000 foot view today. And what I hope to do as we look at it from 30,000 feet is to help you, to give you some tools to what does this look like to better love and to better be in relationship with one another. One of the things we say here quite a bit at the Fountain is, you can't do life alone. You can't do life alone. Now, you can try to do life alone, but you weren't meant to do life alone. And in fact, one of my favorite movies of all times illustrates this principle really well. It's the movie Mighty Ducks 2. Not Mighty Ducks, but Mighty Ducks 2. It came out in 1996. If you remember that movie, they had this cheer, quack, quack, quack. You know, there's all sorts of things. It's an awesome movie. But anyway, the Mighty Ducks, at this point, they're Team USA from all over the world. They're playing together. But at this moment in this that we're going to check out in just a second, the Team USA or the Mighty Ducks have stopped playing like a team. They started kind of playing solo, doing their own thing, kind of, you know, trying to do everything all on their own. And they get into the locker room and they realize that they're not playing too well. They're losing. They were having a great time, but they weren't playing very good. And so Coach Gordon Bombay comes to them and he gives them this motivational speech. Check it out.
Y'all enjoy that?
Yeah! Yeah!
Awesome. Okay, well, so did they. Because they're still 3 points up. And we're one period away from defeat.
Well, if we can't beat them, we might as well keep our pride.
Yeah. We're Team USA, gathered from all across America. And we're going to stick together. You know why?
Because we are ducks. And ducks fly together.
That's right, Jan. And just when you think they're about to break apart,
ducks fly together!
And when the wind blows hard and the sky is black,
ducks fly together!
And when the roosters are crowing and the cows are spinning circles in the pasture?
Okay.
Ducks fly together!
And when everyone says it can't be done, ducks fly together.
Now, new ducks and old ducks must unite under a new banner. And I thought perhaps something like this.
It's not Team USA. Well, yes, it is. They've got on new uniforms. They're wearing the logo of the duck. I've never seen this before.
If you've ever seen that movie, or if you've seen that movie before, you're probably wanting to go home and like watch it, rent it somewhere. Mandy was talking about that. She said, "I gotta see that movie." So that's what we're gonna be doing on Mother's Day today, probably. But what a great reminder. This team, they had to be reminded that they were ducks, and because they're ducks, ducks fly together. Ducks fly together. What does that have to do with us? Here's what I mean by that. In the same way, you weren't made to get isolated in your life. You weren't made to fly solo in your life. In fact, all of us were made to have deep, meaningful relationships with other people and not to just fend for ourselves, but to have people in your life who care about you, people who know your name and are watching your back. And I believe that the best place this happens in the world is the local church. The best place this can happen is in the local church. In fact, we love it that the Fountain has continued to grow and it's become a place where people can come in and just and check out Jesus and check out what God's doing here and see if this is a place they want to be a part of. But the thing that we want to encourage you is not to just stay there. The thing that we've seen over and over is that a church will never really feel like home until you get connected with one or two or a few people. All of a sudden, as the church grows bigger and bigger, it starts to feel smaller and smaller when you're connected. And it's really hard to grow in your faith if you're not connected with other people that can help you in that walk. And here at the Fountain, two of the best ways, we try to keep it simple. The two best ways to get connected to one another is by joining a refresh group and by serving on a serve team. We tell people all the time, hey, we want you to do three things. Come to worship regularly, join a refresh group, and start serving on a serve team. And here's why. Keep it simple because it really is a part of the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. This is how we live out loving God and loving people best, we think. See, refresh groups are simply groups that meet in homes, and they're so much more than just a Bible study. They meet in home to encourage each other, to support each other. They eat a lot of good food. Hallelujah. Amen. They do different mission projects together, and they really become like a family. In fact, our spring refresh groups, we do them by semesters, are coming to a close in a couple weeks, and we're going to be launching new groups, summer groups, and I really want to encourage you to get connected, to get plugged in to a group. And I know summer's coming and it gets busy, but I want to encourage you, it's okay, we know people are traveling, to get connected in some kind of way in a group, because it'll really help you to get connected to one another in your life, but also to grow in your faith. The second way is through serve teams. And serve teams are simply the people you see and some people you don't see who are making a difference difference every single week here at the Fountain. Whether it's from a welcome team or our Fountain Kids environments, our production team, all sorts of things, setup and breakdown team. Did you know, you probably guessed, meeting in a school, that this space does not look like this when we walk in. There's a team of people every single Sunday who transforms just like people put up, just like the people of God put up pipe and drape when they were wandering in the wilderness in the Old Testament. We put up pipe and drape and we set up a place where people can meet with God. And then we break it all down so that people can go to school. It's such a cool thing to see the body of Christ at work. But it's not just a way to make an impact in people's lives. The thing that we've seen is that as you start serving together, you start bumping elbows with the same people. You start serving together weekly. You start to become friends with the people you serve with. And it starts to get you more connected. So those are two of the great ways. I want to encourage you to be a part of those. But let me, as we start this kind of message, I want to ask you this question to kind of get us started. And the question is this: What would it look like for you in your life to thrive in all your relationships? What would it look like in your life to thrive in all of your relationships? Now, most of us are like, thrive? I mean, I'm just trying to make it by in this one relationship or whatever it is. But what would it look like? What would that feel like? What would that look like to have peace in every single relationship in your life? It would kind of be like on earth as it is in heaven, wouldn't it? And it's one of the, I guess as you think about that incredible picture, I want to ask you another question. What is holding you back? What's holding you back from experiencing that kind of relationships in your life? Now, all of us, when I ask you that question, probably thought, just as I did, of those people in your life who are preventing you from having it. It's usually like, well, that person's the reason I'm not having peace in my relationships, and that person's the reason why there's chaos all around me, right? We think of those people in our lives that are sometimes hard to love, those people in our lives who make things difficult or complicated. And for you, it may be certain people groups in your life. Maybe people who drive the speed limit, right? It could be those people that, road rage, like, oh, why is this guy going the speed limit? Or maybe the people that drive the speed limit in the left lane, that really raises the stakes. It could be those people at the grocery store who have 21 items in the express lane, right? And you're counting, as you have holding your one item ready to check out, you know they don't have the right amount of items to be in that lane. Maybe it's a people group. But for you, maybe it's somebody a little bit closer to you, like in your extended family. Maybe that person that shows up at all the holidays and birthdays, and they're going to ask you those same questions. That tension's going to rise just like it always does, and you're just bracing yourself for it. Maybe it's somebody even closer to you. Maybe somebody in your immediate family or your immediate circle of influence, like your teenager, or trying to figure them out, or maybe your spouse or your kids. Here's what I want to do today as we kind of look at this whole reality. I want to help you to catch an idea of what it truly means to love people. What does it mean to love people? What does this look like in our lives? And I think if you can take this one idea, if you can grasp it and try to apply it to your life with God's help, I think it'll impact every single relationship in your life. It'll impact your coworkers. It'll impact the way you parent in your marriage and your friendships. And here's what it is. This is the bottom line up front. Here's what it is. Love the way Jesus loves. Love the way Jesus loves. Now you may hear that and be thinking, that's it? I mean, this is what we paid money or admission to get. No, you didn't pay to get in here. This is what we came here for. Love the way Jesus loves. See, the reality is it's so simple, but it's so profound. And one of the things that as you hear something like this, I want to help you to understand what that really means and what that really looks like in your life. And so if you have your Bibles, would you turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We're going to be looking at this picture of love. And it's not the Gospel of John. That's a different thing. 1 John chapter 4. It's near the end of your Bible. The words will be on the screen as well. John is the author, and John is one of Jesus' closest disciples. He's seen the way Jesus loved, and he turns around and he tells us the way we should love one another. So check it out, 1 John chapter 4, starting with verse 7. Here's what he says. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Crazy that he would say something like that, isn't it? And when we see this, here's kind of what John is trying to say. He's saying that you only know what love is because God authored it. In fact, you only know what God is because God created it. And he wired you with this desire to receive love. Everybody wants to be loved. And also to give love. Everybody's been wired that way. And John is trying to say that if you want to know if you truly belong to God, just look at the way you love other people. Now, that's pretty big. I don't know if I want, sometimes we love with such an imperfect love, and it's kind of like, oh, I don't know if I get this. I don't know if I'm there. What John is not saying is this. He's not saying that loving other people is a way to earn right standing with God. He's not saying there's this popular belief out there, if you just do a lot of good things for people, then God will somehow be happier with you and you'll have access into the kingdom of God. That's how so many other religions work. It's a religion of works that says, do this and then you'll satisfy the requirements of God. That's not the way it works. John, what he's saying is not that. In fact, we know that we are saved and we can have right standing with God only by grace, what God's done for us. So what John is saying is this, the way we love other people is actually a fruit. It's evidence of the love of the way that we love God, of the love of God that's in our heart. See, the reality is if somebody were to figure out who your identity, you know, the government would usually ask for your thumbprint or your fingerprint, right? To determine your identity, to determine who you really are. If you go to the airport and you're going to go fly on an international flight, what do you have to bring with you? Your passport. You have to present your passport to the TSA officer, and they have to check off and to look at that to really reveal which country you belong to. But what John is trying to say is the distinguishing characteristic that reveals to yourself and demonstrates to the world that you belong to God or not is the way you love other people. The way you love other people. Now, this is kind of a crazy thing because maybe you've interacted or bumped elbows with some people who are Christians who maybe you think, man, that doesn't look like the Jesus that I follow. Man, these people don't love me very completely. Now, the thing that's interesting is all of us, that God is working to grow us and to grow our love. And sometimes we may look at somebody's life and say, we're not supposed to judge other people, but we can be a fruit inspector. But sometimes we look at people and we say, we look at them and we say, well, how could that person be a Christian? They don't love people well. And you may not know their story. You may not know where they've been before and what God had freed them from. And maybe it's one of those things like, well, you should have seen the way their life was before and the way they loved people before. And it happens in the other way. So what God wants to do is to take us no matter where we are and to grow our love for him and grow our love for one another. The great commandment, love God and love people. And when you love people well, people start to see in you the Jesus you follow. That's why this is such a high stake. When you go to work and you start interacting with people, the way you treat other people demonstrates to them the Jesus you follow. And it can either cause them to lean in and to say, I want more of this Jesus that you follow, or it can also cause people to take a step back. There's a lot at stake because we're representatives of the living God. And we're not talking about, when we talk about love, we're not talking about this distorted Hollywood Moonlight and Roses version, right? We're not talking about affection or just lust or cheap infatuation, you know, like check yes or no. We're not talking about that. What we're really talking about is this deeply rooted sacrificial way that God first loved us. In fact, check out the picture John's going to give us of the way God first loved us. Here's what it says, verse 9. He says this. This is how God showed or demonstrated his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Amen. Hallelujah. We sing about it. We talk about it. But if you've been in church for a long time, if we understood the reality of this, you would be jumping out of your seat and saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain for me. But the reality is, the more you hang around this, the more the more you've been in church, sometimes we get numb to the reality of how much God really loves us. And when you understand the implications of how much God loves you, you start to be freed up to go love other people in a radical way, in a way that only Jesus can enable you to do. And so when we kind of see this, I want you to, here's what John is doing. What John is doing, he's giving us this picture. It's almost like a David and Goliath comparison. Are y'all fans of underdogs? How many of y'all, when the NCAA tournament comes on, you cheer for like the team nobody's heard of? Underdog story? What John is saying is our story is an underdog story. And what he's doing is he's giving this word picture, and he's putting God on one side, the perfection of who God is, the holiness of who God is, and just the completeness of love that God has. And then on the other side, he's like a boxer. And then on the other side, here we are. Here we are in our frailty and our brokenness. Here we are in the ways that we've turned away from the God that wants to love us so much. Here we are, and we've fallen short of the glory of God in so many different ways, and there's no way to bridge the gap between us and God. And with the story, what the Bible is really all about is that God, when he sees that we had no way to earn a right relationship with God, God did the unthinkable. This is the gospel. He gave as a gift his one and only son, his best, so that me and you could have a right relationship with God, so that we can have eternal life. Now, I don't know if we understand this theologically, but I want you to put yourself in the shoes of a parent. Many of you are parents. I'm a dad. This is Mother's Day as well. I don't know about you, but there is no way and there is nothing in this world that will ever, ever, ever make me choose willingly to give up my son or to give up my daughter for anybody. I don't care how good of a cause it is. I don't care how much it's going to help people. I love my son. I love my daughter too much to ever give them away for any of you or anybody else, right? And you feel the same way about your kids. You love your kids and you're willing to do anything for them to protect them and to nurture them. They're your kids. But this picture of what God did for us, that God had his one and only son, and he saw the brokenness of where we are without having any right standing between us and God, and how we on the other side of the ring have turned away from God in so many ways, and God sees us, and he says, you know what? I don't see you just as a broken vessel. I see you as a broken vessel that needs the healing touch of my grace. And Jesus took his one and only son, and he says, you know, I love them so much that I'm willing to give my greatest and my best, the only thing I've got, so that he can live among them to show them what love really looks like. He can live a perfect life and die a perfect death so that they could have a right standing with God. So that everything that they've always done, everything that they're going to do, and every way that they've ever turned away from me can be forgiven. And so that they can have the life I created to give them. That's what love is, the sacrificial way that God gave himself for us. And that's the picture of love that John says, I want you to be part of. I don't want you to just grasp for your own self and your own life and to keep the love of God contained in your heart, but I want you to turn around just as you've been loved in ways that you didn't deserve. I want you to go and love people in ways that they don't deserve, to love people so well. And the reality is, this is kind of the North Star and the aiming point, the goal of every relationship. See, it's not just caring about somebody only when we feel like it. It's not loving somebody only when it's easy. That's easy to do that. Everybody can love people that are easy to love. But what he's saying is that love is a verb, and it has to be lived out. See, the love of God shows us, and it says, and it calls us to give this love away. This love that says, I want what's best for you, even if it costs me everything. I want what's best for you. Now, I want to talk to you about how John says to live it out. Check out what John says, because this is a huge thing. Verse 11 and 12, he continues. He says, dear friends, since God so loved us, that incredible picture, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us. Crazy. And his love is made complete in us. Verse 16, this is how we can do it. It says this, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. Did you catch it? Did you catch what he said is the answer to all this? He said, look, God has given us this incredible picture of what love looks like. He's sacrificed. He's given his best, his only son for our gain. And John reminds us, if we want to love other people anywhere close to this, we can do it if we work harder. No. What did he say? Did he say, you know, if you can do it if you just try to do better? No. He said, you can love other people in that kind of way if you rely on God. You rely on God to actually love through you. So as you strive to love God and to know God, God can come into your life because he lives in you and can actually start to love in a way that you can't love other people. He can love through you if you'll enable him. See, the closer you get to God, the more you realize his love for you, the more you're enabled to love one another. That's why it's so important to get closer to God. And so, you know, the thing that I know is that you just think about, if you think about sports, if you think about different habits that people have, you can change certain habits in your life with enough effort. You can change certain behaviors. I mean, people stop smoking and stop doing all, you know, you can stop certain habits and certain things in your life. You can, by enough perseverance and accountability and all sorts of things. You can act better and on the outside appear to have your life more together. But one thing nobody can do, one thing that nobody has the capacity to do on our own is no one can change their own heart. You can change behaviors, but you can't change your own heart. That's why God has to come in and do that. Only God can take a heart that's dead to him. Only God can take a heart that's apathetic toward other people and can make it alive with love. That's why we need God. That's why love comes from a deeply rooted dependency on God. That's why we need God. And so this is just a huge reality. This is the North Star, but you may be looking at this and say, great, since God has to do it for me, what do I do? What's my next step today? How am I supposed to be a part of that? And how can I better love people? I think there's two key ways that we can work with God, that we can work with God and to awaken and strengthen our love for other people. Here's the first one, to do life and to do faith in connection with other people. In other words, get connected to other people, to do life and to do faith in connection with other people. It's one of the ways God grows and awakens our love for people. In fact, there's all these one another's in the Bible. Have you noticed? There's love one another, that spur one another on toward love and good deeds. There's all these one another's. And you can't do any of the one another's in the Bible alone, right? You need one another in order to do the one another's. And the reality is, one of the purposes of Christian community is for God to grow your love for people. And what happens so many times, we're afraid to get connected to people because, I'm going to interact with somebody that's hard to love and that's difficult, and I'm going to get sucked into that group and maybe they'll be weird and, you know, all sorts of things. I know. I've been a part of those groups before. I lead one. No, I don't. Our group is cool. But anyway, somewhere along the way, as you're interacting with people, you're going to bump elbows with people who become difficult to love. With people who maybe get under your skin or don't have the same belief system you do. And you'll rub shoulders with people who are a little bit more difficult to love. And I believe this isn't just something that happens. I think God places certain people in your career, in your small groups, in the church, in different places in your life that maybe are more difficult to love in order to grow your love for people. See, it's hard to practice love. It's easy to love people that are easy to love. But Jesus puts people in your life that are sometimes difficult in your life to grow your heart and to grow other people. And so the thing that happens is not just something that God does to sharpen you and to grow you, but God also uses other people in church community to encourage you and to build you up. In fact, there's a funny video that came out. If you're familiar with Yo Mama jokes. How many of y'all familiar with Yo Mama jokes? How many of you did those? No, you don't have to say. You don't have to say if you did those this morning, Yo Mama. But anyway, there's this really funny video that came out from our friends at Harvest Church down in Warner Robins that's really talking about this reality well, about how other people, when we get connected to them, can encourage us in our faith and can encourage us in our life and even our view of our mamas. Check it out.
Oh, what's up, bro?
Hey, man.
Are you and your mom coming to Mother's Day this weekend?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. You and your mom are going to be here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I will be here.
Dude, she is so sweet.
But yeah, but dude, your mom is so cool, dude.
But to be fair, Sam, your mom is so loving. I wish she was my mom.
Yeah, but your mom is so supportive. She likes all your Facebook statuses.
Okay, Sam, I see where this is going. Your mom is so full of joy and cheer, she put the detergent industry out of business.
But your mama is so generous, she's helping you pay off your student loans.
Oh, no you didn't. Okay, all right, Samuel. Samuel Michael Fisher, your mother's DIY projects are so creative, MacGyver himself comes to her with things and says, what do I do with these?
Your mama's so strong, she successfully balances motherhood and a career.
Wow. You said a lot of kind things that you can't take back. You know that, right?
I know.
Thanks, bro.
What service are you coming to?
Just have your mom call my mom.
Yo mama. Well, anyway, so other people can encourage us. This is why it's so important to get connected to other people in the church especially, because they can encourage you in your life. The second way that I think we can work with God to awaken or strengthen our love for people is this: to start serving other people. Start serving other people. Find a way to give yourself away to serve other people. It could be that you find a way to serve on some kind of serve team here at the Fountain. Maybe some kind of mission opportunity like Holly Park that we've got coming up in a couple weeks. There's all sorts of ways. Maybe you see a need in your neighborhood or maybe in this community and say, you know what, I want to be a part of that and I want to help other people out. I want to serve them. The thing that we know is that as you serve other people, as you give yourself away, God will grow your heart for other people. And that's one of the cool things about serving. And so here's the kind of the two things, as we kind of close this up today, the thing I want to encourage you about is to get connected with other people and to start stretching yourself to serve other people, because a person who knows how much God loves them loves well. They love people well. So here's the challenge for you this morning. Let's not just realize the love God has for us and keep it inside. You ever heard that? Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. Let's not just receive God's love and just keep it all contained inside. Let's realize the love God has for us, the way he's freely and sacrificially offered himself to us. And let's in turn open our lives up to get connected to other people and to love people with a sacrificial love and give ourselves away in service to others. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for this incredible reminder, this incredible picture of love. And we know that this isn't just words on a page. This isn't just a story in a book. But God, this is something that you actually did for us. God, history even tells us that over 2,000 years ago, there was a man named Jesus that we believe was the Son of God who died on a cross and rose again so that we could have eternal life. And God, I thank you so much for the way that you love us beyond belief. God, I thank you for the way that even though we've never deserved that love, God, even though there was this huge gap between us and you, God, we thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your greatest and your best. You sacrificed the best you had in order to love us. And so God, in turn, would you encourage us? Would you strengthen us? Would you challenge us to get connected to other people, to start serving people, open our eyes to see opportunities, God, to see opportunities to make a difference in people's lives. And through that all, God, grow our love, not only for you, but grow our love for people. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.